It's the 19th hole with Michael Williams.
Greetings, one and all, and welcome to another edition of the 19th Hole. Michael Williams, your host and Sherpa through this wonderful world of golf and golf lifestyle. This week, it's hot. It's really hot here in Washington, D.C. We're in the dog days of August, and I am trying to keep cool. I'm going to go out on the golf course today, hopefully after I get all the work done and get out a little bit late. When we get to sundown, it gets a little cooler. It'll be really, really nice, I think. But in the meantime, we have a show to do, and it's going to be a good one. This week we have first talking to us about the business of golf. One of the people who knows it best, who really makes it happen for the industry. Of course, I'm talking about Steve Skinner, the CEO of Kemper Sports, who's going to talk to us about the business of golf, how it's doing. And we all think it's doing great. We're going to get a confirmation from Steve, whether that's a yay or a nay, and about where the game is right now and where it's going, more importantly. We've seen a lot of people come to the game after the pandemic, and we want to know if they're going to stay and what makes them stay, what motivates people to get into the game. It's going to be a fascinating talk, and I really look forward to sitting down and spending that time with Steve and getting some insight into where the game is right now and, more importantly, where it's going. After that, we're going to talk with the folks over at Bunker Hill Farms. Joe Domek is one of the principals at Bunker Hill Farms, and this is going to be just a little bit of an emotional episode for me, because I got to visit Bunker Hill Farms earlier this year, and it is truly one of the most magnificent facilities I have ever been to anywhere in the world. And while I was there, I didn't get a chance to speak to the owner and founder of the property, Mike Domek. Mike has since passed away, and he passed away at an early age, an untimely death it was, but the property lives on, and I think it's a tremendous tribute to him and his vision for the game that it does. And Joe is one of the people who is helping to do that, and I'm really looking forward to talking to him about the game, about Bunker Hill Farms, and most important probably about Mike himself and his vision, his love of the game, and how he expressed it through Bunker Hill Farms. It really is going to be a great talk, so I hope you join me for that. I really feel very special about all the places I play, but this one, for obvious reasons, is a little bit different. So please join me for that. So with that, go get yourself a beverage, a slightly crunchy snack, and we'll be back with more of the 19th Hole. Michael Williams, see you in a minute.
Hey there, Jay Peterman here, John O'Hurley, and you are listening to Michael Williams and the 19th Hole.
Welcome back to this, what I feel is a very special edition of the 19th Hole. You know, I've been in the golf business for a long, long time, up to years. Okay, I'll say it, almost 15 years I've been in the business. And I started off not being a golfer, but being in the business of golf and getting to know the game from the ground up, from the inside. It was kind of a blessing, because I was able to understand not only how things get made available and what gets made available, but why? What's the motivation for these things? And what I found out was it's very different for different people, for different companies. The reason they do things, the motivations are as broad as the number of clubs in a bag. And but through all of that, from the time I've been into the game right up until today, one of the companies that has been outstanding in the field is Kemper. And with me today is a guy who's going to talk to us about where the game has been, where it is right now, and most importantly, where it's going in the future. So please welcome my good friend Steve Skinner, the CEO of Kemper Sports. Steve, welcome to the 19th hole. How are you, my friend?
Doing great, Michael. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. And I understand you're in Chicago right now, which is where the headquarters of Kemper is, correct?
Yes, yes. Ben here was founded 47 years ago, believe it or not, around Kemper Lakes Golf Course. Was the first golf course which went on to host, that was opened in 1979 and went on to host the 1989 PGA Championship won by Payne Stewart.
So you weren't born yet when the company got started, correct?
I wish. I was still in high school. How about that?
Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that. But that's a fantastic story about the growth of the game, paralleling with the growth of Kemper Sports. And you've seen those parallels, how they've gone over the course of the years. So I'll get right to it, which is every guest that I have who's in the business of golf talks about this special period that we're in right now, post-pandemic, where the game is literally more popular than it's ever been. What's your particular view of how the business of golf is going right now?
Yeah, no, I would echo the same thoughts. It really has been amazing how since the pandemic really opened a lot of people's eyes to the game. You obviously grew to love over the last 15 years, and we've all loved, but has really brought a lot more people into the game, I would say, from kind of all walks of life and all sectors. So it's been really strong. It's been amazing to watch prior to the pandemic. The segment of young golfers, I'll call them 18 to 34 year olds, and even some of the juniors, weren't participating at the same level, the same rate their fathers and grandfathers' generations were. So we were missing that. And during the pandemic, they came out in droves and they've stuck with the game. So we're seeing more young people, more families, more women involved in the game. So it's been fantastic.
And, you know, there have been other booms in the game, most notably during my time involved with the business of golf during the so-called Tiger boom, when the popularity of Tiger Woods led a lot of people to come to the game and attempting to be like Tiger. But that group fell away. And I think because they found very quickly that they couldn't do what Tiger did. Nobody could do what Tiger did. But they didn't really get into it for the enjoyment of the game. If you agree with that sentiment, that this particular wave of golfers is different, why do you think they're different?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I think this wave of golfers is much more about the social aspect. I think it's also, as society has changed, as people are more involved and more interested in experiences than things. And what is a better experience than being on a golf course with three of your friends or eight of your friends or 12 of your friends or family to spend the afternoon or spend the weekend? So I think we've seen that. I think, and I also think the golf industry, I will give the industry credit for a lot of years as we struggled to find players. You know, golf is steeped in 400 years of tradition and the way we've always done things. And I would say the decades leading up between the Tiger boom and the pandemic boom, that decade or so in between, the industry really spent a lot of time of relaxing some of those old traditions and determining how are we going to welcome people to the game. And I think that we've really done a good job of that in terms of you can come kind of dressed as you are, you know, play music on the golf course, and just have fun. It's all about having fun and the social enjoyment. So I think it's become, in a lot of ways, for a lot of people, more about that social connectivity more than can I, you know, hit the ball like Tiger Woods or Jordan Spieth or Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And some of those things that found themselves in that period of discovery for golf, if you want to call it that, you know, things like the 6-inch golf hole and that sort of thing. Some of those were, you know, straight garbage, actually, and we don't see them anymore. But a lot of those things have made their way into the game to the benefit of everybody, for the game and the people who play it and the people who make it available. So before I talk about Kemper, you talked a little bit about the history of Kemper Sports. Talk a little bit about the structure of Kemper. How big are you in terms of where you are and how many courses, all of that? Brag a little bit about Kemper Sports.
Yeah, well, thank you. So we are, as I said, we've been around 47 years. We have close to 200 golf courses now in 40 different states, all over the country, all in the United States, and really in three segments, in the daily fee segment, private clubs, as well as destination resorts. So I always say we run the whole gamut from the local community golf course, community nine-hole golf course, all the way to hosts of U.S. Opens at Chambers Bay, to great destination resorts, Bandon Dunes, String Song, Dismal River, Sand Valley. So we really run the gamut and see the full range of golf and players. And I say the great thing about the game is whether you're at a fancy golf resort or your local nine-hole muni, people are passionate about the game. They love the game of golf, and that's what makes it fun.
And what's interesting, and you said some of the best-known names in the industry, and some of the names that I personally love. When you talk about Bandon Dunes, you're talking about reverence there, hushed tones. People speak about Bandon Dunes. Yeah. You operate that. Sand Valley, the Mike Kaiser courses in general. I mean, those are really, really special places, and it must make you smile every day to have the opportunity to run, to really operate places like that on a daily basis, I bet.
Well, yeah, I think we have to pinch ourselves every day because we've been so fortunate to be involved and watch Mike and as he's developed and really a whole new genre of golf and of destination golf in America. And I think Mike will go down as really a visionary of changing the game of golf and the way people consume golf, and not only starting with Bandon Dunes and the others that have grown out of that has really changed everything about. So it's we're very fortunate to be involved and play a small part in all of that.
Yeah, and so when you mentioned the golf courses that Kemper is involved with, Kemper Sports is involved with, you mentioned ones that are at the top, ones are in the middle, ones are at the bottom. Is there any particular sector that you see growing faster than the other, sort of the daily fee, the minimal daily fees, the big luxury resorts, something in the middle? What's driving the growth?
Yeah, it's amazing. Coming out of the pandemic, it's been every segment of golf. It's been private clubs have never, we have about 30 private clubs. They've never been busier. They have waiting lists. They went from pre-pandemic looking for members to now having waiting lists. The destination resorts that we're fortunate to be involved with are incredibly busy and high demand. And the local community golf course is seeing play. And I think it's because we're seeing growth in all segments. So there's a lot more juniors playing the game. Our junior clinics are as busy as they've ever been, busier than they've ever been. And so really we've seen the segment. Now it's changed a little bit. I would say work from home was good for the golf business because people would work from home and run out and play nine holes at 3 o'clock. So as people have gone back to the office, it's changed the patterns a little bit, but I think people have really gotten the golf bug and they seem to be really sticking with it.
Oh, we're talking to the CEO of Kemper Sports, Steve Skinner. You're on the 19th hole with Michael Williams. Let me just go back to the game and how it's growing. And do you think this is something that will continue now, or are we still on an upward path? Have we leveled off in the game? Is there any indications that are out there that tell us where we are in terms of this new boom of the game?
Yeah, I think we're going to have more steady growth now. We had, rounds are up more than 20% coming right out of the pandemic in 2021 and 2022. In the last couple of years, they've been up 2-4%. So I think we're at that. But I think that's going to continue because I think these young golfers are replacing the aging baby boomers, which have carried the golf game for so long. And so so we really see it as we look out into the future. We really see a good next decade at least for the game of golf and for interest in golf. And, I think the PGA Tour and LIV and the others, there's been a lot of controversy there, but oftentimes we find that it's not necessarily connected to the recreational golfer. But we are seeing more personalities come out on tour, more celebrities playing golf. From all walks of life, actors, musicians, it's become the cool thing to do, which is great to see.
Yeah, it is a kind of a cool thing to do, air quotes. And I'll say that I'm all for that. I'm all for everybody playing the game. But you pointed out something where you have, so like I call it the Caddyshack syndrome, where you have like the old established guys and you have the new fun-loving guys. And when they're on the course, either one of them by themselves, that's all good. But when you get them on the course at the same time, you can have some friction. You guys are a leader in terms of bringing people to the game and, that's to say, customer service in that sense, making the game comfortable for everyone. Do you see that challenge in terms of the old established guys and the newbies to the game? And how do you bring those two together in a peaceful kind of way?
Yeah. I think I do agree. People like to consume golf differently now. Yeah. And some golfers hate music on the golf course and some can't play without it. And I think, you know, as long as we put parameters on people being respectful, the great thing about golf is you're playing over 200 acres. And at any one time, maybe you have 70 people on the golf course, right. 72 people on the golf course. So there's plenty of room for everyone to enjoy the game and enjoy it in their way. So, you know, that's a good balance. But you see that a lot at the private clubs as well, where, you know, frankly, there was some time period there where some of the older golfers enjoyed having a half-empty golf course to themselves. And, you know, now you've got families out there. But I think people that really love the game like to see play, like to see new excitement, and like to see the health of the game, because it's great for everyone. As a business person who owns golf courses and manages golf courses, a healthier golf course, a busier golf course allows you to invest more and improve conditions of the golf course and renovate bunkers and improve the clubhouse and the whole experience. So I think it's good for everyone.
It is good for everyone. And I know you to be someone who, despite your position, you enjoy the game of golf. You enjoy the game and seeing people enjoy the game. And you have all these new ways to enjoy the game. Number one among them, Topgolf. You know, that has been just a revelation. Yep. During this period, the growth of that thing, that's a whole nother show. But when you look at the different ways that people enjoy the game, how is Kemper incorporating those things into your business? Do you look at virtual golf and other things like that as, yep, as possibilities for you?
Yeah, no, so it's all positive. We've done a lot of things, I would say, over the last few years. One, the golf simulators are a big part of our business. A lot of our private clubs, other ways to enjoy the game. We've added a lot of big putting greens that the whole family can enjoy and the whole community can enjoy. We've added short courses at a lot of clubs and a lot of the resorts. And so there's just a lot of ways we do it. We've always been at Kemper Sports a big proponent and a big part of our business has always been focusing on player development, giving free clinics to new players to the game, getting kids involved. So we've really kept that attention and that focus at a grassroots level. I think it's very important. Over the years, there have been a lot of industry initiatives that have tried to grow the game, but the game really grows one player at a time. And it's that one-on-one connection of the professional at the club, teaching a young player, or a father taking out a daughter, or grandfather taking out a son to play golf and introducing to the game. And I think that's really what makes the game special. And that's what's helped it grow, is not necessarily national initiatives, but we really look to empower our people at the local properties to really focus on it and get everyone active in the program.
It's interesting that you say that, because I know there's barely a week that goes by where I don't see some industry notice about Kemper acquiring a new course. It's like, not even a new course, one new course. It'll be multiple courses at the same time. And kudos for all of that. I guess one of the questions I want to ask is, when you're out there looking and scanning that whole universe of golf courses, what makes a golf course, if this is something you can talk about, what makes a golf course Kemper material, if you will?
Well, that's good. Well, we like to find places we can make a difference. We'd like to find places that have been them well maintained, but also that where our, some of our management practices and some of our customer services practices can elevate the operation and elevate the experience for the customers. So, as I say, we have a wide variety of properties, so we don't exclude a property because it's a local community property. But we really look at places where we think we can. It really starts with the customer experience. I say we've been around a long time and we have 200 courses now, but we really still have the mentality of how we were built, which was one golf course at a time, and really boil down to one golf experience at a time. So it's that one-to-one attention. So we try not to pay much attention to how many courses we have. It's what are we doing, you know, in your market at Whiskey Creek or Timbers of Troy or Blue Mesh? What are we doing each day, Reston National, each day for each customer that comes through the doors? How are we making their day special or an enjoyable experience?
And you talked about having roughly 200 courses in your portfolio, correct? Something around there. 200
yes.
courses? Yeah.
So
yes. There are thousands of golf courses in the United States. How big does Kemper want to be?
Well, we never really set a number. What we want to do is continue to grow because it gives opportunities for our people to continue to grow their careers. It gives opportunities for us to kind of share our passion for the game and grow the game. So I don't think there are 16,000 golf courses in America. Less than 20% of them are managed by professional management companies like ourselves. So we think there's plenty of opportunities out there. We'll continue to grow, but we have no kind of end number in sight. As long as it's a property that is, we think can be well maintained and provide a great experience, we'll grow, but not so fast that we lose that personal touch.
I get you. And as we wrap up, I just want to ask about, again, some more questions about the future, because you have, let's take my show for instance. I talk about golf for sure, but I talk about the business of golf. I talk about golf travel. I talk about food and golf. I talk about golf and health and wellness and that sort of thing. All those things are connected to golf. Do you see Kemper in any way getting involved in those satellite businesses that are around golf and maybe making that a part of what you do as well?
Yeah, so we're really wide ranging. So a lot of our business, people are surprised to hear of our business. Close to 40% of it is food and beverage.
Really?
So we run big restaurants and banquet facilities and tournaments. We host a lot of weddings. So it really is so much more than just golf. So that's a big part of it. We just recently formed a strategic partnership, acquired Fire Pit Productions and Matt Gianella, who we think is probably one of the best storytellers, present company excluded, one of the best storytellers in golf to become Kemper Sports chief storyteller and really tell those stories for our properties and other golf properties and other golf businesses of what makes golf so special. So, you know, we're going to continue to expand around golf and around the passion people have for golf.
Well, that is really great news. Congratulations on that, because I know Matt very well. He's been a frequent guest on this show, and he's one of the most outspoken and well-spoken people you can possibly have representing you. So, again, congratulations on that.
He's fantastic.
He really is. Well, as we close, I just want to get you, because you're sitting on one of the highest perches out there when it comes to golf. So from this unique perspective that you have, try to give us one encouraging thought that you have about golf over the course of the coming year or two or five, and a word of caution over the next year or two or five.
Yeah, no, that's great. I would say the encouraging thought is go out on an afternoon and watch the number of young people playing the game. Kids, boys and girls. That's what really struck me. One of our properties has a great junior program, and 2 years ago I was there on a Friday afternoon, and being a parent of a boy and a girl, and I saw on a 6 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, this program had seventh and eighth grade boys and girls just having so much fun on the golf course and so engaged. And I thought to myself, you know, if this game can attract on a Friday night, you know, boys and girls of that age to be on the golf course instead of, you know, running around town. And I think that's really what excites me about the health of the game. You know, and I think the cautionary tale for golf will be, you know, you see a lot of stories about a lot of very expensive private clubs being built in Florida and elsewhere. And we've been through that. I think we need to be careful as an industry not to overbuild. I mean, it's a very small segment of the market, but how many, $500,000 initiation fees clubs can you have in one state? So, I think we're not involved in any of those at that level, but I think that's the cautionary tale. Let's make sure as an industry that we don't overbuild again, and we've got a good balance now, and we really focus on making the game fun and not dry and keeping people in the game. And I would say I'll make my one other pitch. The one thing that is a cautionary tale, and it's not popular among the governing bodies, but we don't need to make the game any harder by rolling back the golf ball or rolling back equipment for the enjoyment of the game and for 99% of the golfers. Let's make the game fun. Let's make it easy to learn, easier to learn, easier to play, and not try to make it longer and harder.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, as they say. Let's keep it that way. And by the way, I can only afford two of those 500K memberships a year, so
Yeah.
that's my limit. That's all I can
That's
do.
it. You've got room in your 14 club bags still.
Again, I'm trying. I'm doing my very best.
No.
Steve, look, it's always just a great pleasure to talk to you. I know we get to see each other a couple of times during the year at NGCOA events and Golf Inc. and all sorts of things, but just a chance to sit down and really talk like this really means a lot to me. And I know it means a
I
lot to my listeners. Really, thanks so much for
know.
taking the time, man.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for everything you do for the game of golf. I mean, the people like yourself that are telling the stories, that are promoting the game, that's what creates the excitement and reporting on it. So really appreciate everything you do.
We appreciate it. And we'll see you out there on the road sometime soon. Yeah.
Sounds great.
You got it. That's Steve Skinner, the CEO of Kemper Sports. Steve is one of the most honest and earnest guys you will ever meet. He is working every day so hard to make the game more available to more people and to make that which is available even better. He's taken courses like the ones that he talked about here in my area, Blue Mash, for example, which I play a couple of times a week. And you can see the difference before and after when Kemper comes. They really are a special group when it comes to operating golf courses. And you can look at their list on their website and see the courses that they operate. You can get some idea from just the people who said yes to them. But to get a better idea, go play a Kemper course and you'll see for yourself. We're going to take a break and we'll come back with more golf and stuff. Michael Williams, 19th hole. Welcome back to the 19th hole. Michael Williams, your host. I get the chance to play, as you know, in a lot of special places, a lot of places all over the world, all over the country, and that sort of thing. And I recently got to play at a place that was super special. I mean, there's really so many ways to describe it, and also there's no way to describe it. Bunker Hill Farms, just outside of Chicago. Some of you have heard of this place, and I know when I was telling people that I was going, the reaction would be like, oh, you're going to Bunker Hill Farms? How'd you organize that? It was that sort of thing. But not really because necessarily there was some trick to getting in. It's because it was just such a special place. And I didn't really understand it then, but I understand it now after having been there. And, It's difficult to do this one a little bit, I'll be honest with you, because the visionary for the place, the leader of the place for so many years, Michael Domek, passed away recently. And it was tough. I wanted to have him on the show when I did this segment to talk about the place and his vision and the future of the place. But I'm very pleased. I'm very honored to have a member of his family on to talk about Bunker Hill Farms, to talk about Michael and his vision and how they intend to keep that vision going. So without further ado, please welcome to the show, Joe Domek of Bunker Hill Farms. Joe, thank you so much for coming on. And before I say anything else, let me express my support and my heartfelt condolences at the loss for your family.
Oh, thank you so much, Michael. It's an absolute pleasure to be here with you and speak about Bunker Hill Farms and Mike. And it was a really tough loss for ourselves and the family, but especially the community. Mike had a big footprint around here and spent a lot of time doing philanthropy and giving back, and not only just making donations, but donating his time and mentoring and really kind of, you know, for lack of a better analogy, putting his money where his mouth is and, you know, getting down and doing the dirty work for other people. And, you know, Bunker Hill Farms was a big part of that. So thank you for your condolences.
It's literally the very least I can do. And hopefully there's some more I can do to help support the mission of the place, because it is such a pure and noble mission. But for those, I'm going to get back to the property a little bit before I start talking about Mike and his work. Bunker Hill Farms is a place that, for those in the know, it's on this sort of shelf that's marked "Do Not Touch," along with next to the cookie jar. Do not touch that. Do not touch Bunker Hill Farms. It's such a special place. Let's go through the basics. Talk to me about where Bunker Hill Farms is and how it got started.
Yeah, so Bunker Hill's northwest suburbs of Chicago. It's tucked away in Woodstock, and we don't disclose the address simply because it is very exclusive and private. Mm-hmm. And when we have guests that are on site and they book Bunker Hill, they get the entire 450-acre estate to themselves. So we don't want other guests or potential guests or onlookers driving through the property when the gates are open. So we don't disclose the address to anybody, but it is in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, about 50 minutes northwest of Chicago's O'Hare Airport, for those that are looking to fly in. Yeah. That's the most accessible airport. But it's local to where Mike and his family lived, local to where he was deeply rooted in the community already. And he just wanted to have somewhere to get away for the weekend that he didn't have to drive 4 hours. He didn't have to fly. Obviously, he had the means to kind of create whatever he wanted, but his vision was to, you know, have something where it was, you know, 30 minutes, an hour away from where he lived, where he could make it convenient not only for himself, but his family and friends to be able to join him as well. And that was kind of his passion, was entertaining and being surrounded by other people that he really enjoyed.
Some might be familiar with the name on its own, because Mike built a huge business in the ticket industry, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. He started ticketsnow.com, which was under a different name, the VIP Tour Company, back when he started it in his college dorm room with less money than he had, or he wrote a check for more than he actually had, and flipped and sold a pair of tickets, took the profit, deposited the money before the check cleared to Ticketmaster. So Mike's first check written as a business owner was to Ticketmaster, and his final cash out was Ticketmaster buying his business about 15 years later.
Fantastic. Unbelievable. So he was obviously a self-made kind of guy, but he never really lost that feeling of joy and connection to the average person. And that's what you get when you spend some time at Bunker Hill Farms. The number one word that I come up with when I have to describe the place is welcoming. It's a welcoming atmosphere.
Yes, it's, you know, Mike always loved being surrounded by his family and friends. And for a lot of individuals that, you know, I would know that would meet him, would say, you'd never know this guy was well off. He would give you the time of day, any day. And he was willing to help anybody that was, you know, needing a little push, you know, needing a little guidance. And Mike would always spend time with him and allocate time, especially as it came time with his battle with brain cancer. When he was feeling well, he certainly allocated some of his time to supporting and helping other patients that were suffering from cancer as well. So even though he was struggling and fighting himself, he still gave time to give back to others. And I think that kind of personality was emulated through the staff out at Bunker Hill Farms, because he created a culture and, you know, endorsed it with individuals. Mike's belief was kind of along the lines of, you could hire, you know, the skill set, or you could hire the personality and teach them what they need to know. And I think in the long run, unless it was something very specialized, he always wanted to go the route of finding the right person and teaching them everything they needed to know and giving them the tools to be as successful as they wanted. And that kind of transpires with the staff that is out at Bunker Hill Farms, because when you book the property and you come out and do a corporate, a personal family getaway, a friend's guy's golf trip or a couple's retreat or whatever form your booking takes while you're on property at Bunker Hill Farms, the staff just emulates that welcoming personality, and they're just there for you. And the main feedback that we get about Bunker Hill Farms is, obviously the property's beautiful, the amenities are beautiful, everything's luxurious. As Mike used to say, it's secluded opulence and rustic elegance out at Bunker Hill Farms. But the staff is the one thing that every guest always comments on, of how sincere they are, how personable they are, how they're not hovering, but you always have what you need and then some. So it's just a beautiful mixture of exclusivity, seclusion, luxury, and service.
So we've painted quite a picture here of Bunker Hill Farms and what the feeling is like. Let's talk a little bit about what actually is there at the property. I know Mike had a vision for it initially, but it's evolved into something quite different, or something additional to what he initially visioned. And talk a little bit about what he started with and what it is now.
Yeah, in fact, back when I even worked with him at Tickets Now for several years, towards the last couple of years, he was looking at property and he had kind of flagged me down and, you know, said, "Hey, if I build a log cabin, would you use it a couple times a year?" And of course going, "Yeah, sure. No problem.
Right. Yeah.
Sounds great. Yeah. Free getaway. Thanks, Mike. Awesome." And so he found his property after, you know, quite an extensive search, and it was rough. It was overgrown. It was wetland. And he had a golf architect come in, a landscape architect come in, interior designers and architects come through and create a vision for, you know, like a 5 to 10 year plan before they even broke ground on the place. And when he finally built his log cabin, which is otherwise known as the lodge, the family and friends that he invited to use it a couple times a year really didn't, because everything is so nice out there, you don't want to touch anything.
That's so exactly,
I think,
right.
If anything, you know, he kind of scared us off a little bit from it. And that kind of evolved into the property sitting vacant a lot. You know, Mike and his family used it weekly. Mike would go out there and have boot camps and spend his Wednesdays out there. His wife would spend Thursdays out there, and they would do, you know, a couple weekends a month. And just spend time out there with the kids in nature, immersed in, you know, the seclusion of the space. And it just wasn't enough. So Mike started entertaining some different friends and YPO groups and Tiger 21 networks and other executives and members of other boards that he had sat on. And that kind of transpired into this idea of, hey, you know, can you do a donation of an overnight stay here or a golf outing here to this charitable organization, and yeah, let it go, you know, let it go to auction and see how much it does. And that went for, you know, north of $10,000. And Mike was kind of shocked, like, wow, people would really pay to go there. And he was very humble, knew what he had, but didn't understand how it was perceived by others. And they thought it was really special, especially since the property is fully staffed. So it's not like a VRBO or an Airbnb that you just rent and you have to go get the groceries and cook and turn the lights on and take care of everything and learn how to work the jacuzzi or whatnot. It's fully staffed. So you have a handheld curated experience from arrival to departure. And that kind of created the vision for, wow, there's something here. I can probably utilize this property for the greater good other than just doing these auctions. So he founded Bunker Hill Charities to offer exclusive access to Bunker Hill Farms when it's not in personal use by the family. And it's just kind of taken off from there. The first couple of years was just by invite only, by word of mouth, never marketed online. In fact, we built a website to kind of support and create a little bit of materials, mainly because Mike wanted to do concerts and events out there and do fun things. So we needed the e-commerce ability to transact. But at the same time, it was never to market it. It was just to kind of let it flow organically. And the original visitors that came out there had to be approved by Mike that they could go use his place. And over the years, as we've created the staff to support all these things and train these individuals and created the systems just to kind of, you know, enhance the experience and make sure that things flow and, you know, make sure that we can maintain the inventories, the property and the guest experience. As that all evolved, we started kind of reaching out a little bit more. And about 2 years ago, Mike had asked me to do some outside sales, which no one has ever done, for Bunker Hill and get the word out. So that's kind of how things really started to take off, was some PR and some outbound sales reach and just getting the word out about Bunker Hill, because I would even contact local organizations to see if they wanted to do any kind of team building retreats, any kind of sales retreats or performance incentive experiences, or just client entertainment golf outings. And most of them still, you know, to this day, even go, I didn't know that that was there. I would even reach out to, you know, some different organizations and they would be like, yeah, we heard of you, but we thought you were like Fight Club. We weren't allowed to talk about you.
You're allowed to talk about it, but whether you get the opportunity to experience it is quite another thing. And again, I'm so fortunate that I did. By the way, we're talking to Joe Domek of Bunker Hill Farms here on the 19th hole. Michael Williams, your host. Let's talk a little bit about the golf course, because that's one of the most unique features about the place, because I asked if it was a 9-hole course or an 18-hole course. And the person who spoke to me, your representative, sort of smiled and giggled and said, yes. You could probably give a better description of it. Talk a little bit about the very special and unique golf course that you have there.
Yeah, the golf course is amazing. Just a, you know, one word encapsulation. It's just amazing. It's a beautiful course to play. Most people think that when someone has a private golf course that it's not going to be well maintained, but it's absolutely beautiful.
Yep.
It's very well done. And the superintendent that takes care of the grounds has been to green schools and he managed other golf courses. So he's an expert in the space and we're lucky to have him. His name is Sig Colano. He's been fantastic and he's been with us even before we broke ground. So he was part of the planning process and part of the vision and understands where, you know, everything is. But originally, the golf course was intended to be a full 18-hole course sprawling over 180 acres. And Mike's wife eventually looked at the plans and said, I don't want to look at a golf course outside the back lodge. You take your toy and you put it over there. So they reconfigured this golf course into what's just under 60 acres, and it's 9 greens and shared fairways back and forth, but it really is like a golf course architect's little marvel of how they utilize the space in such an efficient manner that you will never hit to the same green from the same angle, the same approach, the same distance. You're going to have something different to carry. You're going to come from a different direction. It's a really, really special and unique course to be able to play. And some of the holes pay homage to other great holes in the golf community. So it really just, you know, the number 4 fairway, the pine trees with the straw down on the side.
Yes. Yep.
It pays homage to Augusta, and you know, several different holes have different unique aspects about that, but just the way they utilize the space is absolutely amazing. And that kind of lends back to the exclusivity of, because it's shared fairways and greens, there's only so many people that can be on the golf course at one time. Otherwise, you start crossing and hitting up on each other. So that lends to the exclusivity of a limited capacity. So when you're out there, you have the place to yourself, and your grouping sizes, we like to keep them under 20. If possible, 20 seems to be kind of the limit, but each golf experience that goes out there has four caddies that go with them in every grouping. So the caddies are connected via radio, and they handle the traffic flow and the patterns and everything, so that you're really not interrupted when you're playing. And if there's anybody coming down a different fairway, and we even for special events and unique outings, we'll change the routing of the course. we do anything because you're the only ones out there. We even do night golf, where we'll bring in light towers and light up the par threes for guests to play after a chef prepared meal. They can go smoke cigars and sip bourbon while they play the par threes at night. It's your own space. So you get to play in whatever format. If you want to play eight together in a scramble, you're more than welcome to. There's no ranger that's going to tell you to break it up. There's no one telling you your pace is too slow. You create the rules out there, and we facilitate the experience.
And I mean, to be clear, it's a nine-hole course that we play twice to play 18, and I played it, and it plays like 18 different holes. You have no concept. Even though you're going around the same property twice, you have no concept that you're playing twice on the same piece of property. Very different looks, very different shots, very different feel, and it plays like a full-size golf course. Some of the golf courses that you see that are nine holes like this, that's not an unusual idea, but I think the way this one is accomplished is very different because you get the feel of a full-size course 18 different holes.
That's correct. And the original, you know, the original design was for 18 holes, but Mike didn't want the shrunken version or compacted version to
right.
feel like you're playing the same nine holes over. So you're never going to hit from the same tee boxes. You're not hitting to the same green from the same distance or approaches. So it is 18 unique holes. And it's just those 18 unique holes have a different footprint, the front nine versus the back nine, and the usage of space is contorted and engineered so that it has a very different feel to it. Sometimes when, you know, I go out there, I want to just play the back nine if I only have time, because typically, sure. you know, most people start and they play the front nine. I like to mix it up because some of my favorite holes are on the back nine. But it is a very unique space, and the course itself is really tough too. It has a 130 slope rating, and it's just over 6,700 yards. And you kind of get that vibe when you hit the first tee, and your first hole's a 580-yard par five.
Yeah.
So it sets the tone for you right away.
Amen.
Especially when you go to any typical golf course, there's usually a fairway if you slice like me. To kind of save you at Bunker Hill, there's no fairway next door. So when you get in trouble, you're in trouble. And thank goodness we have those caddies to go find balls.
Amen to that. I played that course actually with two balls. So I was pretty proud of that fact. I had a really good day out there. I had a really good day. But the course itself is championship level golf. I think that's what we want to say. It's championship level golf. 18 holes compacted into nine. So it's really kind of a marvel of golf course design there. Did Mike play a lot of golf?
Mike did. Mike enjoyed it. He wasn't, he was by no means a scratch golfer. You would think he would be a scratch golfer having his own course. Probably about a 15 handicap, maybe a 12 at his best. But he just enjoyed it. He loved it. He loved the experience of, you know, being with his friends playing. He loved the different tournaments that we would create for friends and family to have out there, and just the relaxing pace. Mike always used to say, when I drive through the gates, it's like my blood pressure just goes down.
I
relax.
Yep.
I just I'm secluded in my place of Zen out there, and it just kind of emulates that to everybody that comes through the gates and has that experience out there. But he absolutely loved playing golf, and obviously his kids were more interested at a younger age in the ATVs and the shooting pavilion and all these other different activities and the lake. And as they started to hit later years of grade school and high school, they got into golf, and man, do they love golf now too.
You're talking about some of the things that I love the best about the place, because I'm a little bit of a shooting enthusiast, and I got a chance to go to that place and had one of my best days ever there. Sig will tell you he was there, and it was a fantastic day there. I like biking, and you got a chance to bike all over the place. It seems as though the things that people like to do are all available, and you make them so easy to do and so pleasant to do that you just don't want to leave. I just want to ask, who comes to Bunker Hill Farms? Is it individuals, groups? Who actually gets a chance to experience this?
So the experiences are booked through our services. They can reach out to us by inquiring at the website. There's a contact form. And it's a myriad of all kinds of different guests that come out. Sometimes it's corporations. Sometimes it's individuals that have, you know, a guy's golf outing and they just want to have an amazing hang together. They do an annual trip and, you know, they've been to Pinehurst. They've been to, you know, Pebble Beach, or they've gone, you know, to all these different individual places, and they're looking for something unique, which seems to be a common thread among a lot of golfers. They're there for the experience, and we have that. So we have a lot of guys golf groups that come out. We have a lot of corporations that'll do team building retreats, board meetings. We have meeting and event spaces and overnight accommodations with 15 guest rooms on property. And we also work with other partner properties for additional rooms. But we'll have family retreats. We'll have weddings. We'll have, you know, celebrations of retirement parties. We'll have anniversaries, any kind of gathering really that you can create and you want to utilize the space for, it's yours. If you want to do a 2,000 person concert for your corporate team, you know, annual picnic, we can put that together, because we do an annual concert every year for charity on the property, which was part of Mike's passion as well.
Yeah.
So we have the logistics lined up. We have the connections. We have the production. We can bring in the stage. It's I always think of our staff as logistical experts, simply because we can create an experience from nothing. The directives always from Mike was, I want this. Let's figure out how to do it. So when it comes to a guest, and you know, anyone that has the budget and means to put together whatever they're looking for, if they want John Rahm to come play a round of golf with them, we can source that. If they want a golf exhibitionist, a long drive hitter, they want a celebrity to come play golf, they want a guest speaker to come in and talk to their team about leadership training, we can do these different things. Even transfers from, you know, regional FBOs like, you know, Chicago's Pewaukee Executive Airport or Rockford or O'Hare, we can do helicopter transfers to the property. We've sourced all these different things because those are things that Mike wanted to be able to do himself and to be able to provide as an option to guests. So it is a high-end elevated experience, but at the same time, the inspiration behind everything was to give back to charity. So guests that come out and book at Bunker Hill Farms, roughly 40 to 60% of their gross booking is coming back to them in the form of a tax acknowledgement, because we're going to give away all the proceeds to the local community. Fantastic. That was the vision, was to use the property that otherwise would have sat vacant because Mike and his family don't live there, and let's create something for the greater good.
That is, I mean, what you just said is almost incomprehensible to me, that you can have a property that's this special, this opulent, that's this unique, and still be able to do so much good with it, to have so much devoted to charity. It really shows the commitment of the family to doing not only do it, to doing well, but to doing good. It's kind of a tribute to Mike and who he was and what he thought. And I know that you guys are working to keep that going in perpetuity.
Yes, yes, we're working to keep the vision alive, keep it moving forward. It's so humbling to be a part of everything that goes on there, just to have, you know, access to a property like this that is just so special and so beautiful and so well done and executed, and to have an experience available to others that we can customize to every guest needs, and be a part of that and giving back to the community is just, it's fulfilling. You know, our satisfaction is seeing the guests so happy out there and seeing them enjoy the place and just be amazed at everything that they see and everything that they're able to do and the experiences that they have while they're out there. So it's been fantastic to be a part of it. You know, you kind of pinch yourself going to work every day with what you get to do and who you get to meet and what you get to create for others and just the joy that it brings them. But knowing full well that on the back end of that is a charitable impact. And by using this property, since the charity's inception, we've donated almost $3 million back to the local community and supported over 150 different charitable organizations, because Bunker Hill Charities is just a granting agency. We just take the funds that we earn through our experiences and grant them out to other programs and school systems and health and wellness and veteran programs and support groups. And it's been, you know, it's been fantastic to be a part of all of that.
It really is something special. The place is something special. The spirit of it is something special. We didn't even talk about the food, and I got to even cook my meal with, I took a cooking lesson and had a grade A five-star meal with your chef there. The whole experience, it's really hard to describe it. And I'm a guy who does description for a living, but it's really hard to describe how special that experience at Bunker Hill Farms is. But for those who want to take advantage of the opportunity, how do they get in touch with you and start to make it happen?
Yeah, absolutely. They can reach out and send an email to info@bhcharities.org. Or the simplest way is just to go to our website, bhfarms.com, and you can fill out the contact form, share some information in regards to what your interests are, and either myself or another individual from our staff will reach out and contact you. It's never something where you can just book online or you can say, hey, I want this weekend, I want one room in the lodge. Every booking is exclusive, so you get the entire property to yourself for your group, and we customize that experience for your group, meeting your dietary restrictions, your beverage preferences, your activities that you want to do when you're on site, and we orchestrate all of that to meet the correct timing of how long it takes to play golf, a shooting experience, an ATV, archery, whatever it is, a culinary experience, a spa treatment that you might want to do when you're on site. And we construct an itinerary that meets your needs while you're on site and hopefully creates the ultimate experience for you while you're there.
I think that you can probably do that. You definitely have the tools for that. It's just one special place. It just really is. And I know. I didn't get a chance to come to the concert this year, which I believe just happened. Actually, who was your featured artist at the concert this year, the charity concert?
This year at the charity concert, we featured Joan Jett and the Blackhearts opening up for Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, my God.
And it's an exclusive by invite only concert, so you have to be on our invitation list to get access. There will never be a public link that anybody can go to the website and find the link to purchase tickets. You have to be invited. And we limit the concert to 2,500 guests only because we want it to be intimate. We want it to be exclusive, and we want it to be something special that you can't get somewhere else. And just having a concert set among the beautiful grounds of Bunker Hill Farms seems to be enough. But we definitely do it up, and you know, we're logistical experts, and we entertain and host like nobody else. And the VIP experiences at the concert are second to none as well, all the way down from hostess service in the first four rows to meet and greets to all-inclusive food and drinks and the prizes and giveaways and raffles that we use to generate charitable donations are second to none. And ironically enough, we have a lot of things donated, but the ones that people enter the most are the Bunker Hill exclusive experiences, the golf outing for eight guests, the overnight experience, the spa treatments, the culinary classes with our chef. Those seem to be the ones that get the most attention just because you can't get those anywhere else.
Mm. I'm just reliving some of the experiences in my mind and just checking off all the boxes. And as you say, it's there are things that you can get there, things that you'll experience there that you just won't experience anyplace else. You just really won't. I know we can title this episode The Long Goodbye, but just one more question before you go, which is
sure.
the golf course itself. I know you have the 9 and 9 laid out there. Is there any chance that you're going to do either another 9 or expand another 18 out there?
As of right now, that's not in the plans, but you never kind of rule anything out when it comes to Bunker Hill, where, you know, if it's ethical and in the budget, we always say to guests, we'll get it done. Mm-hmm. So the future of, you know, expansion of the golf course, it's a possibility. The original layout was, and the topography was done for 18 holes. So in order to do that, the investment for us would be, you know, significant, but minimal in retrospect, because a lot of the earthwork has already been done. The irrigation systems are already there. It was just changed out of a matter of necessity for Mike's wife not wanting to look at a golf course and mowers going back and forth all the time. But for right now, we're just going to keep operating as is and get the word out about Bunker Hill Farms and our unique experiences, and, you know, connect with individuals that are interested and explain just how special it is and see if there's some interest to put something together and hopefully get the word out in an effective manner so that we can keep busy and make use of the property and keep giving back to the community while doing it.
Well, keeping busy shouldn't be a problem for you, buddy, because you've got something special there that many, many, many people want to be a part of. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being a part of this show today. Mike,
my pleasure.
I mean, Mike, thank you. And Mike was such a visionary, and you feel not only his vision, you feel his heart and his soul and his passion, not only for the game, but for people when you're there. So as you say, I know you get a big smile on your face coming into work every day. I got a big smile on my face right now from doing this episode. And thank you for that. And I hope that you will come on again and tell us about what's going on at Bunker Hill Farms.
Absolutely. I would love to.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. And thanks for taking the time to connect and talk about Bunker Hill Farms and Mike today.
You got it. That is Joe Domek from Bunker Hill Farms. You know, this is a tough episode to get through, honestly, because I have a smile on my face and I have like a tear in my eye, honestly, because I'm sitting here looking at a little piece of paper. And I'll tell you a story when I packed up from the staff, who are some of the nicest people you will ever, ever meet. I mean, they are so kind and so friendly, from the chef to the person who turns around your bike every day to make sure that it's facing out instead of in. There's just no limit to the things that they do to take care of you. And as I got back from the trip, I was still glowing from it. And I unpacked my golf bag and I looked inside my little zipper pouch where I keep my balls and the golf balls, and there's a note in there from Bunker Hill Farms on their note stationery, and it's just a simple note. It says, "Thank you for coming, Michael," with 3 exclamation points, "and come back soon." That was from Nick. It's Nick, BHF. And I got to tell you, it almost made me burst into tears, and it makes me choked up now just to see it, because it's just a little thing, just a little note inside your golf bag. But that's what these guys are all about. There's a lot of people who specialize in doing the big thing, making the big effort, that you can advertise in the show, but it's the little things in it that make your trip, that make your life even special. And this note, I have this note right here because this note, I have a lot of memorabilia from a lot of golf things, but this is going in a frame on the wall because it, as much as anything I've ever done or anything I've ever received in golf, exemplifies what this game means to me. It's about people and their connection to it. And I'm so grateful to have had a chance to visit that place. I really am. And I hope you get a chance to. We'll be right back with more golf and stuff. Michael Williams, 19th hole. As we say in the business, that's it and that's all for this edition of the 19th hole. I want to thank my very special guest, Steve Skinner of Kemper Sports, the CEO of Kemper Sports. He is a wellspring of knowledge and one heck of a nice guy. And it is so kind of him to spend some time talking to all of us about what is new and different and what promises to be the same and special about golf. Thank you so much, Steve, for spending the time with us, and we look forward to having him back. Also, a very, very, very special thanks to the people at Bunker Hill Farms, Joe Domek, and everybody at Bunker Hill Farms. It is truly a special place. You're getting there, and I know he didn't give an address, but you're driving out of Chicago, and as you get there, I looked down for a minute to check some notes and things like that, and when I looked up, it was like I was in another state, another place, another time. It is so close to an urban area, but again, so far away from it. But everything there is special. It's not Chicago. It's not it's Bunker Hill Farms. And that's from the golf to the food, to the sporting facilities, the biking facilities, but most importantly, the people. It is an unbelievably special place. And we thank Joe for being so gracious to coming on and sharing some thoughts about the founder, Mike Domek, and especially about the place, Bunker Hill Farms. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You can get this episode of the 19th Hole and all episodes of the 19th Hole on Apple iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever they happen to be calling it now. You can also get us on Spotify and wherever excellent podcasts happen to be domiciled. I want to thank you for listening. We do it for you. We hope that you're listening. We really will endeavor to keep the show as good and fresh and relevant as we possibly can. Thank you for all your comments. We'll be back next week with another show. Until then, get out in this heat, put on some shorts and a t-shirt, grab a bucket of balls and hit them. And when you do, do your very best to hit them straight. Michael Williams, 19th hole.